and have you owe me the favor. Pray, do not ponder over long. Come sit by me, binder of demons, and tell me of the days of your glory, when you, with the immortal goddess, rode abroad in the world, scattering chaos like seed. It was long ago, said Sam. Might those days come again if you win free?
They may.
That is good to know, yes. You will do this thing? Hail, Siddhartha, unbinder!
Hail?
And lightning and thunder, may they come again!
It is good.
Now tell me of the days of your glory, and I will speak again of mine.
Very well.
Dashing through the forest, clad in a leather belt, Lord Krishna pursued the Lady Ratri, who had declined to couple with him after the rehearsal dinner. The day was clear and fragrant, but not half so fragrant as the midnight blue sari he clutched in his left hand. She ran on ahead of him, beneath the trees, and he followed, losing sight of her for a moment as she turned up a side trail that led out into the open. When he glimpsed her again, she stood upon a hillock, her bare arms upraised above her head, her fingertips touching. Her eyes were half closed, and her only garment, a long black veil, stirred about her white and gleaming form. He realized then that she had taken on her aspect, and might be about to wield an attribute. Panting, he raced up the hillside toward her, and she opened her eyes and smiled down upon him, lowering her arms. As he reached for her, she swirled her veil in his face, and he heard her laugh. Somewhere within the immense night that covered him over. It was black and starless and moonless, without a glint, shimmer, spark, or glow from anywhere. It was a nighttime akin to blindness that had fallen upon him. He snorted, and the sari was torn from his fingers. He halted, shaking, and he heard her laughter ringing about him.
"You have presumed too much, Lord Krishna," she told him, "and offended against the sanctity of night. For this I shall punish you by leaving this darkness upon heaven for a time."
"I am not afraid of the dark, goddess," he replied, chuckling.
"Then your brains are indeed in your gonads, Lord, as hath often been said before. To stand lost and blinded in the midst of Kanipura, whose denizens need not to strike and not to be afraid, I think this somewhat foolhardy. Goodbye, dark one. Perhaps I'll see you at the wedding."
"Wait, lovely lady, will you accept my apology?"
"Certainly, for I deserve it."
"Then lift this night you have laid upon this place."
"Another time, Krishna, when I am ready."
"But what shall I do until then?"
"It is said, sir, that by your piping you can charm the most fearsome of beasts. I suggest that if this be true, you take up your pipes at this moment and begin your most soothing melody, until such a time as I see fit to let the light of day enter again into heaven."
"Lady, you are cruel," said Krishna.
"Such is life, Lord of the Pipes," and she departed.
He began to play, thinking dark thoughts. They came, out of the sky, riding on the polar winds, across the seas and the land, over the burning snow and under it and through it they came. The shapeshifters drifted across the fields of white, and the skywalkers fell down like leaves. Trumpets sounded over the wastes, and the chariots of the snows thundered forward, light leaping like spears from their burnished sides. Cloaks of fur of fire, white plumes of massively breathed air trailing above and behind them. Golden gauntleted and sun-eyed, clanking and skidding, rushing and whirling they came, in bright baldric, wormask, fire scarf, devil shoe, frost greaves and power helm they came. And across the world that lay at their back, there was rejoicing in the temples, with much singing and the making of offerings, and processions and prayers, sacrifices and dispensations, pageantry and color. for the much-feared goddess was to be wed with death, and it was hoped that this would serve to soften both their dispositions. A festive spirit had also infected heaven, and with the gathering of the gods and the demigods, the heroes and the nobles, the high priests and the favored rajas and high-ranking Brahmins, this spirit obtained force and momentum and spun like an all-colored whirlwind, thundering in the heads of the first and latest alike. So they came into the celestial city, riding on the backs of the cousins of the Garuda bird, spinning down in sky gondolas, rising up through arteries of the mountains, blazing across the snow-soaked, ice-tracked wastes, to make mile-high spire to ring with their song, to laugh through a spell of brief and inexplicable darkness that descended and dispersed again shortly. And in the days and nights of their coming, it was said by the poet Adisei that they resembled at least six different things. He was always lavish with his similes. A migration of birds, bright birds, across a waveless ocean of milk. A procession of musical notes through the mind of a slightly mad composer. A school of those deep-swimming fish whose bodies are whorls and runnels of light, circling about some phosphorescent plant within a cold and sea-deep pit. The spiral nebula, suddenly collapsing upon its center, a storm, each drop of which becomes a feather, songbird or jewel, and, perhaps most cogent, a temple full of terrible and highly decorated statues, suddenly animated and singing, suddenly rushing forth across the world, bright banners playing in the wind, shaking palaces and toppling towers, to meet at the center of everything, to kindle an enormous fire and dance about it, with the ever-present possibility of either the fire or the dance going completely out of control. They came. When the secret alarm rang in the archives, Tak seized the bright spear from out its case on the wall. At various times during the day, the alarm would alert various sentinels. Having a premonition as to its cause, Tak was grateful that it did not ring at another hour. He elevated to the level of the city and made for the museum on the hill. It was already too late, though. Open was the case, and unconscious the attendant. The museum was otherwise unoccupied, because of the activity in the city. So near to the archives was the building set that Tak caught the two on their way down the opposite side of the hill. He waved the bright